From WNYC in New York, this is On the Media. Brooke Gladstone is off this week. I'm Bob Garfield. Happened to catch the Democratic debate Wednesday? If you did, you saw a good old Las Vegas demolition derby. Elizabeth Warren slamming Amy Klobuchar about negotiating with the enemy.
We can't be so eager to be liked by Mitch McConnell forget how to fight the Republicans.
Pete Buttigieg slamming Klobuchar for blanking on the Mexican president's name.
You're literally in part of the committee that's overseeing these things, and we're not able to speak to literally the first thing about the politics of the country to ourselves.
Are you trying to say that I'm dumb, or are you...
Bernie Sanders slamming Buttigieg for taking money from rich donors.
Look, my campaign is fueled by hundreds of thousands of contributors.
Including 26 billionaires.
And Buttigieg, like the feistiest Eagle Scout ever, accusing Bernie of selling out organized labor.
You're the one who is at war with the culinary union right here in Las Vegas.
We got more union support than you have ever dreamed of.
I'd say it was a free-for-all, but Bloomberg has coughed up more than $400 million in the past 10 weeks to buy the name recognition to get him on the stage. And it was he who everyone else on the stage most accelerated to demolish.
I'd like to talk about who we're running against. A billionaire who calls women fat broads and horse-faced lesbians. And no, I'm not talking about Donald Trump. I'm talking about Mayor Bloomberg.
Before it was over, the word billionaire had been uttered 16 times. Sanders had called Bloomberg's wealth immoral, and Warren cornered him to let the women paid by Bloomberg's company in Me Too litigation be freed from the gag orders that went with the settlements. He said no. In the coming months, if Bloomberg stays in the race, we are sure to hear more about these NDAs. But one media organization we won't be learning it from is Bloomberg News, an international organization employing 2,700 journalists. As New York Times media correspondent Michael Grinbaum explains, when the former New York mayor officially announced his candidacy in November, Bloomberg News editor-in-chief John Micklethwaite sent a memo freeing his staff to cover any and all aspects of the campaign, with one notable exception.
They would be prohibited from investigating Michael Bloomberg and, out of fairness, his rivals for the Democratic nomination.
Is the ruling that if you open a closet and see a skeleton and you're a beat reporter, you have to close it? Is it that you can't just, on your own enterprise, start digging into, the subject of non-disclosure agreements? Does anyone know where the line really is?
You're asking the same questions that the reporters there asked their editor a couple weeks later. John Micklethwaite, the editor, said that by investigate, he was really referring to a specific team of journalists at Bloomberg News known as the Projects and Investigations Team. They often do tax fraud and white-collar crime and other sorts of material that is common to a financial news organization. However, the memo, as reported, did not make that distinction, and that's led to a lot of confusion for reporters and their sources.
Well, let's talk about the non-disclosure agreement as an example of what might not be the purview of an investigative team, but which is very much in play as of Wednesday evening, because Elizabeth Warren and others were all over Bloomberg what scandals he had bought his way out of.
I would not expect to read that material from Bloomberg News, because on top of this prohibition on investigating candidate Bloomberg, Bloomberg News has had a long-standing editorial policy that Michael Bloomberg's wealth and his personal life is out of bounds, and the company itself is not a legitimate topic for their journalism, which at this moment in the campaign takes them out of what is really one of the most pressing questions that reporters have at the moment.
If it's clarity the reporters are seeking, Bloomberg provided quite a bit himself when he said,
quite honestly, I don't want all the reporters I'm paying to write a bad story about me. I don't want them to be independent.
Let's actually go back and look at the origins of Bloomberg News and why it exists as a news organization in the first place. Mike Bloomberg started a financial data company, selling financial information to Wall Street firms. And to convince clients to pay extremely high fees for his Bloomberg terminal, he started up this essentially a wire news service, you know, competing with Dow Jones Newswires or Reuters. And so hiring reporters and journalists to do financial news and having a news division was from the start in service to selling lucrative contracts to the core product of Bloomberg LP. Now, over the years, that news organization grew both in size and prestige. In recent years, it's won awards for investigative reporting. They've hired some of the most experienced journalists in the news business. But at its core, it has always been an add-on service for the financial clients of Bloomberg LP.
And because it's the media business, it almost by definition sucks compared to his financial data business, which continues to be the profit engine for the company.
In fact, some people internally will describe it as a loss leader. If you're Mike Bloomberg, you're always looking at it in service to, from your perspective, the greater good. And when he was the CEO of the company, the greater good was the profit. And now that he's a presidential candidate, I think that Mike Bloomberg sees the greater good as Mike Bloomberg being elected president.
Clearly, some journalists in the organization have chafed at the red lines that they're facing. And there's confusion over what constitutes investigation versus beat reporting. But it's not all just theoretical, because there is a reporter assigned to the Bloomberg campaign. His name is Mark Niket. Tell me about him.
Mark Niket is the Bloomberg beat reporter for Bloomberg News. He's based in Columbus, Ohio, a veteran reporter at the news service, spoken to colleagues of his who have spoken very highly of his skills. And his job is to travel around the country and write about his boss as a political candidate. But he's actually delved into, for instance, tax proposals that Bloomberg has put out there or financial proposals for how to pay for healthcare. And he's really put them to the test. In the lead up to the debate, there was quite a bit of coverage about the attacks that Bloomberg was facing from his Democratic rivals and the fact that his prior public comments on topics like stop and frisk and homelessness in New York City would be likely to prompt a pretty vicious assault from his rivals in the campaign. And by the way, Senator Warren started off saying that Mike Bloomberg had referred to women as fat broads and other derisive terms. That was also reported by Bloomberg News. So I would not call it a sanitized chronicling, but it's all done in very dispassionate tone.
Another consequence of the in-house restriction on coverage is that it invites political opponents and others to extrapolate from that a general abuse of his media power in service of his candidacy. But at least so far, there's no evidence that he is pulling a William Randolph Hearst and in any way trying to marshal the media power of his company in support of his campaign and its policies, is there?
I've seen no evidence of that. However, they've published stories that are critical of candidates in the race, and those candidates have shot back and tried to undermine those stories, you know, essentially accusing the organization of bias. So these are individual journalists who I believe are earnestly doing their jobs, trying to present the campaign in the fairest possible way. And there are interested players who are using this institutional issue against them. And I think that is a real source of concern in that newsroom. Those reporters know that as a journalist, your credibility is all you have. And to have that called into question because of decisions by management is painful.
There is no evidence that, apart from the red lines, that Bloomberg is trying to use Bloomberg News as a bludgeon against his opponents, is there?
No, the reporters I've spoken with have said very clearly that they've not felt undue pressure from management or been forced to make different editorial choices to serve Bloomberg's candidacy. And frankly, if you look at his ad strategy, he's clearly just using other media outlets to try to get more support. He's pouring millions and millions of dollars into local television commercials, which are airing on cable news stations and local affiliates that are not part of the Bloomberg empire. He's a one-man economic stimulus for the local television news industry. In fact, I've heard complaints from rival campaigns that the ad rates on local news stations in contested states have shot up because Bloomberg has been pumping so much money into the market. So he's actually siphoning down resources from other campaigns who have to pay more money to get up on the air. So I would argue that Mike Bloomberg's candidacy is very much powered by the media, but not actually by the one that has his name on the front door.
Michael, thank you very, very much.
Thanks for having me.
Michael Grinbaum covers media for The New York Times. We sought comment from Bloomberg News Editor-in-Chief John Micklethwaite. He declined to speak with us. But we did get in touch with Kathy Kiley, former news director at Bloomberg Politics, who now teaches journalism at the University of Missouri School of Journalism.
I started working for Bloomberg News in 2015. And there were a few times early on that I ran into this weird prohibition. They were minor. There was one time we were mentioning Mayor Bloomberg because he had donated money. I think it was the Clinton Foundation, actually, and Hillary Clinton was the nominee to be at that point. And so I had asked, what's our boilerplate for mentioning Bloomberg? Because a lot of news organizations sometimes have to write about the people who own them. So there's a standard operating procedure at most places. And to my surprise, there wasn't one at Bloomberg. And so I talked to my bosses and I thought that we had an understanding. And the first time it really became obvious that we didn't was when the story broke in the New York Times that Mayor Bloomberg in early 2016 was thinking about running for president. And that is when it really became clear that this was different. We weren't going to be able to cover him in the same way we covered Joe Biden just a few months before when he was kind of weighing whether or not to get into the race. And it just seemed to me that we should cover Bloomberg in the same way and with the same level of aggressiveness. And when it became clear that that wasn't going to happen, I quit.
So in November, the editor-in-chief finally released an actual memo putting in writing the Bloomberg.com approach to covering Mike Bloomberg and the company itself. Problem solved?
No, certainly not for the reporters and editors who work at Bloomberg and aren't allowed to do their jobs. The memo pretty much describes the policy that we were supposed to operate under when I quit. It basically says, well, we'll cover Bloomberg and his Democratic rivals one way, but we'll cover President Trump a different way. And this is a president who keeps saying that the media is not fair to him, and you've just corroborated his worst suspicions. You know, the other problem with this is it implies that there's a special set of rules for people who are successful and have money and are the boss. Here's somebody who invested a lot of money in creating a news service, created a lot of jobs for journalists. That's great. But turned around and undermined it all.
Mike Bloomberg told an Iowa radio station that he doesn't, quote, want the reporters I'm paying to write a bad story about me. If he were here in this conversation, how would you explain to him that that is the worst rationalization ever for suppressing his own news organization?
Well, I actually volunteered to go talk to him when I worked for Bloomberg. And this is what I would say. It doesn't make any sense, Mayor Bloomberg, to have spent all of this money creating this Bloomberg Politics site if you're not going to let it be credible. And if you don't let it cover you and what you do in politics, it's not going to be credible. The other thing I would say is that owning a news organization is different from owning a company. It's a public trust. You can own a football team, but that doesn't mean you're the coach, right? You let the professionals do that job. Most owners of news outlets get it, and they step away, let the professionals handle it. And it would have been so easy for Mike Bloomberg to do the same thing. And it's just a shame he didn't.
Kathy, thank you.
You're welcome.
Kathy Kiley is a former news director at Bloomberg Politics. She now teaches journalism at the University of Missouri School of Journalism. Coming up, a sudden revenue surge for the meme industrial complex. Thanks, Mr. Mayor. This is On the Media.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.